The beginning and the ending is where we're going to end this morning. You may be seated. But I'd like to read from Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. This morning, I'd like to talk about the rhythm of consistency, talking about rhythm, keeping our rhythm, making sure that our rhythm is right in our life. But it says in Matthew 11 and 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You can read it in another version. It says it like this: "Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it." Lord, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that your will and your way would be done, that you would speak in this house this morning. Lord, that your Holy Ghost would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would strengthen us, O God. Lord, that your will and your way would be done in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. The word rhythm comes from a Greek word that means rhythmos. It means any regular reoccurring motion, a movement, a procedure with uniform or pattern, a reoccurrence of a beat, an accent, or something of that like. It's something that there's a rhythm to it, whether it be in song, whether it be in music, whether it be in words, whether it be in poetry, that there's a rhythm to it. We're the only creatures on the entire world that can do that, that has rhythm. You can say, well, I've been to a rodeo and I watched a horse that had rhythm. Now, it doesn't have rhythm. It just has somebody that's keeping the rhythm and has helped it learn that motion that it is taking. They say that parrots can keep some kind of a rhythm. But other than that, that we are the only animals and the only creatures in the world that can have some kind of rhythm, that can hold a rhythm, that rhythm means anything to us. Animals can even possibly walk with a certain kind of rhythm, but it's just the motion that they make. It's not a rhythm or anything that they know about, that they understand. That there's some of y'all that have dogs that you think are smarter than humans, and you say, "Oh no, you don't understand my dog." But they can't prove that your dog has rhythm, and he might have some personality, but rhythm is not something that he has. Life has rhythm. Just your normal day has a rhythm to it. You're going to get tired and you're going to have to go to sleep. That's a part of the rhythm of life. I was visiting with Sister Doris Franklin yesterday, and they're not letting her eat at the hospital. And she let me know. She said, "You better go and tell Kathy that she better bring me some food up here, because these people are not feeding me." And I said, "Well, I'll pass it along." And so this is me passing it along, Sister Kathy. There's the rhythm of life that says we've got to eat. We've got to put food in our belly. That's not something that, unless you have something wrong, I can say today I'm fasting, and all of a sudden everything, Taco Bell looks good when I drive by, and I can say I'm going on a diet, and all of a sudden everything looks good, and everything is just man, I really like beets now. I hadn't really had a hankering for beets, but man, now that I'm on this diet, I think I could eat 9 pounds of beets, and 9 pounds of anything is fattening. And so it's just there's a rhythm that comes in our lives. You know, and whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's bathing, hopefully in Jesus' name, that's something that is a constant rhythm in everyone's life in this room today. There's a rhythm of life that we keep. There's a rhythm that whether it's work, if you're like me and you have kids and you've got a time that they have to get up, a time that they have to be at school, a time that they have to be picked up, a time that this has to be done, a time that that has to be done. Time to go to work, a time to get off from work, a time to make sure this is done, and time to make sure that is done. That there's a rhythm of life. Now, if you're retired, that rhythm can be all messed up. There can time to get up, and it just might be any time. A time to go to bed can just be any time. A time to mow the yard can just be any time. And so when your rhythm is thrown off, sometimes it's even hard to get anything done. I heard somebody say the other day that I have more time than I've ever had, and I can't seem to get it all done. And just the rhythm of life, that there's something going on in the way that we do it and how that we do it. This past week, it seemed like my rhythm was thrown off every single day. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I kind of want to know what my plans are and what's going on. And Jackson got sick. And so I took Monday off. That's my Saturday. And so I took time Monday off. And Jackson was sick all day. Tuesday, Jackson was sick. And we had women's prayer. So I get back and watch the kids so my wife can go to women's prayer. And then I had a meeting and I made it to the meeting. And then with all the kids being sick, groceries needed to be picked up. And so I had to run, pick up groceries, run them back to the house, run back to the church. And it was just Tuesday was just here, there, and everywhere. My rhythm was thrown off. And then Wednesday, take Jackson to the doctor, hurry back to the church, get ready for Wednesday night service. Thursday morning, get up. Had Thursday morning, we have get ready for all of the stuff that was going on with feeding of the high school football team, and thank everybody that was involved with that. So Cindy, now me and Brother Daniel went to Sam's together, grocery shopping, and my wife doesn't even do that. When she sends me grocery shopping, she calls Walmart on Ryan Street. She makes a list, she buys it, and they bring it out to the truck and put it in the back, because she knows if she sends me, first of all, we're not going to get everything that we needed, and second of all, we're going to be doubled up on powdered donuts, Oreos, and all of the good stuff. And so she just calls it in. I park, make a phone call, they bring it out, I sign a piece of paper, and then I bring it home to make sure we get all the good stuff. So you've got me and poor Brother Daniel wandering around Sam's, and they didn't have the sausage out. They didn't. They everything was in disarray, and so we wandered around like two lost Indians trying to find everything that we needed and getting all of it together. Coming back, beginning to cook Monday morning, cooking. Had a meeting Thursday, working on getting our insurance changed to try to save the church some money. It's like all week long, it's just been one thing after another, running here and there. And finally last night, when I finally got everything done that had to be done, and I'm just sitting there thinking, where in the world has this week gone? I know that I've been running from sunup to sundown every single day this week, and I don't feel like I've hardly accomplished anything, because my rhythm was off, and my rhythm had gotten messed up. My rhythm had gotten off course, and things had gotten different than what I was used to, different than what I needed. See, as humans, we've got to have rhythm, because if we ever get on a bad rhythm, it's hard to change what we're doing. We've got to make sure that the rhythm that we have is right. We've got to have a rhythm of prayer in our lives. We've got to have a rhythm of studying the Word in our lives. We've got to have a rhythm of faithfulness to the house of God in our lives. And if that's a rhythm that is in our life, then that's a good rhythm. That's something that we've got going. But if I have a rhythm of constant anger in my life, if I have a rhythm of constant finding myself saying things that are not true in my life, if I have a constant rhythm of seeing myself set down. I read something the other day that I'm not quite for sure if I believe it or not, but they said that the average American watches 36 hours of TV now. or video games. I thought to myself, there is no possible way in the world that anybody can watch 36 hours of TV in a week now. That's just impossible. That's like a full-time job. And what in the world? There's no possible way that can be true. But it was a very reputable source. And so I said, well, you know, maybe there's people out there that have a whole lot more time than we do. But 36 hours, maybe that's just how often it runs in their house. I don't know, but that seems like a whole lot to me. But creating a rhythm that is wrong and then trying to change that rhythm can be difficult. You talk to the musicians in the church, and after church, I'll be like, man, that sounded good. And they're like, oh, that was terrible. You didn't see this. You didn't hear that. This got off here. We missed that there. This was off rhythm there. Somebody sped up here. Somebody slowed down there. Somebody came in wrong here. And it's hard to get it all fixed once everybody gets off. You've been in that service when they start the song and everything's going, and everybody's just looking at each other like, what in the world is going on? And everybody's somewhere else and doing something different. And finally, they're just like, nah, we're starting over. Like, that's it. We're just going to start from the beginning all over again, and we'll get the count and just get it right, because rhythm is important in our lives. Rhythm and the way that we live our lives is important. And if it ever gets off, we've got to make sure that we do everything we can to get it right back in our lives. I was reading a story of a man that he visited China, and he bought this beautiful, huge plaque, very heavy, and had it shipped to his house while he was there, and had all this Chinese wording on it, and it was supposed to be something inspirational, Confucius say something, I don't know. And so, you know, he had this nice plaque, and the nail that he was holding it on broke, and it fell and hit the ground, and a crack came right across the middle of it. And so he sent it back to China, wanting them to remake the plaque. And in fact, he wanted to make sure that he was never in this position again. So he asked for six of them made exactly alike. And a few months later, they shipped all seven of them back to him. And to his dismay, the six that he had made looked exactly like the one that he'd sent over there with the crack down the middle of it and everything. Somewhere you got to make it right, because if you don't make it right, it's hard to reproduce right from wrong. Amen? It's hard to do right, make right from wrong. So we've got to make sure that our rhythm is right. When we get off rhythm, when we get off step, when we get off what's supposed to be right, it's hard to catch that rhythm again. It's hard to catch that beat the way that it's supposed to be and get it right. It's one thing to be listening to a song and get off, and I'm the worst. Don't look at me over here clapping. If you're looking for the beat, don't look to me, because I'm just everywhere. I don't even know, and I'm just happy to be here. And so don't look for rhythm in me. I'll wait for the drummer, and I'm supposed to be that, and then they tell me, no, it's on the up, and then, no, I don't know, and trying to catch that rhythm, and what if you ever get it, you've got to do everything you can to keep it, because when you lose it in life, it's hard to get that rhythm back. Rhythm is something that the only people that can keep good rhythm is people that have passed on, because there's no rhythm. It's hard to have rhythm in life. It is something that is constantly, you're having to work at keeping rhythm. If you had good rhythm yesterday, you've got to make sure you make good rhythm today. If you make good rhythm today, you've got to make sure that you wake up tomorrow making sure that tomorrow I'm going to have good rhythm in my life. We've got to understand that being a Christian, being in ministry, which every person in this room is a minister, you have to understand that you are called to do something in the kingdom of God. It is a character thing. It is something that we've got to understand, that it is a character relationship and profession that we have here in this room. That our character speaks louder than anything else. And if our character is out of rhythm, then we have zero influence with anybody else. And it's not going to take long before they see the character that is out of rhythm in our lives. We can say, everything's on rhythm, but eventually if they're with you long enough and close enough, they're going to begin to hear a different beat that's going on in our lives that's not a part of the rhythm that they think that should be being played, or they know that something in their spirit saying something's not right. Why? Because it doesn't matter what we say, it's the rhythm of our life that is speaking louder than anything else that we can do in our lives. We've got to understand that there has to be a real consistency in our life. To be truly, completely, perfectly consistent is impossible. We see people that are consistent. We see people that it doesn't matter if the doors are, or it doesn't matter what's going on, you know that they're going to be there at church. The other night, we have a family that's just here every single service, no matter what, and they missed a service, and I didn't know why. And what was so funny is something major had to have happened because they never miss. So I'm all worried now. There's some folks they don't show up for 6 months. I'm not, you know, that's their rhythm, and I had to quit stressing over. They were driving me crazy. I was gonna have a nervous breakdown trying to keep up with them, but we got folks, man, they're there, and man, something's over. The rhythm had been thrown off, and I had to go find out, well, where's so and so, what's going on, and because keeping that rhythm and having that kind of rhythm is awesome. That you know that no matter what's going on, that they're going to be there. That you know that no matter what event is happening, that they're going to be there. That no matter what's going on, that they're involved. There's something about that kind of rhythm that speaks louder than words. There's something that kind of rhythm that people look at it and they say, that's somebody that I want to be like. That's somebody that I want to follow after. That's somebody that not up and down. Why did Moses go to the burning bush? Because it burned continuously. It was there. It was not consumed. It was something he'd never seen before. They've seen people get on fire and drop off. They've seen people get excited about the kingdom and drop off. They've seen people get all hyped up about what's going on in the kingdom and then stop. But something that has rhythm that is continuous is something that people look to. Jesus asked us to strive to be consistent, to strive for that place that we are like him. And Jesus knows that we're never going to be like him all of the time, that we're only going to be right some of the time. But we've got to do everything that we can to make sure that is an ever-increasing portion of our lives, that we can live a way that we are constantly trying to be more like him, constantly trying to stay in rhythm, constantly trying, not just rhythm on Sundays, not just rhythm on Wednesdays, not just on rhythm when we've been asked to do something around the church or asked to speak or to be in music that week, but rhythm that is constantly in our lives, that we wake up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what's going to come my way today. My boss might be in a bad mood. Things might be wrong around the house. My kid might make my wife angry, and I'm going to be angry at my kid because now my wife is angry. God, I don't know what's going to come at me this day, but God, I want to do everything I can to stay in rhythm with you today. And the only way that we can stay in rhythm with him is by spending time with him, by opening our word and beginning to read his word and put it inside of us. Making sure that we're worshipers, making sure that we are content with what God has given us. God, I want to thank you for this house. God, I know I'm not going to live here forever, but God, this is where I'm at now. I'm going to be content with what I've got. I want to be content with my vehicle. I want to be content with my job. And when you open the door for the next one, then God, I'll step through. But God, in order for me to be in rhythm, in order for me to find that joy and that happiness, I've got to be thankful for what you have given me. I was talking to somebody here recently, and they're not thankful about anything. Everything and anything is wrong in their life. They have so many good things in their life, but they're not thankful about anything. And instead of having a great life, they have a miserable life because all they see are the things that are wrong in their lives. They've got beautiful children. They've got good jobs. They have money in the bank. They've got things going for them. They're on the right path. They've got a good rhythm if they'll just keep the rhythm. And instead, they're constantly changing the beat to what's wrong, what's not right, what's negative, what isn't going the way that we want, what's not happening the way that I want it to happen. Consistency is contrary to nature. It's contrary to life. It's something that we have to work on. Don Shula wrote a book called There Is a Coach in Everyone. And in that book, he writes about, I don't know what happened after the book, you know, as he got even up older in age, but he never missed a day of coaching. He never missed a day. He never called in sick. He never missed a day. And one day he was walking off the practice field and his Achilles just popped on him. He said it's like he heard it pop. He went to the ground, crumbled to the ground, grabbed his leg, and they took him into the doctor. The next day they had surgery on his Achilles, and the day after that he was back coaching on a golf cart, running around hollering and screaming at everybody again. Missed one day in the entire time of his coaching up to that point. Out of all the years that he was there, everyone knew that coach was going to be there. Everyone knew that I might be sick today, but I know that coach is going to be there. And so they knew the consistency that Don Shula, he was the coach of Miami for forever and ever, the Miami Dolphins. Everyone knew what was going to happen because he was going to be there. It's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye therefore, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul is writing them and telling them that I've come to a place in my rhythm and my relationship with God that you can follow me. Did you know that you can get to a place in your relationship with God that it's no more pointing to someone else and being like, hey, I can take you somewhere and show you somebody to follow, but you can have a relationship with God and in a rhythm that is in your own life that Paul could confidently say, you can follow me as I follow Christ. You can follow me because I'm so concerned with the rhythm of him. I want his heartbeat. I want what he wants. I'm hungry for what he's hungry for. I don't have to point to, hey, go find Peter, go find James or John. No, you can follow me because I am following after Christ. A rhythm that says I'm following after him. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, let no man despise your youth, but be ye an example of the believers. Be an example. What? There's a rhythm in word and in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. There's got to be a rhythm. There's got to be a character. There's got to be something inside of me that my character, that my desire to have good character is stronger than my desire and my impulses, that my desire to have good character, my desire to be like Jesus, that rhythm that keeping the heartbeat of Christ is greater than my desire to be like this world or to be like something else. But I've got to be that in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is within me, which was given thee by the prophecy of the laying on of hands of the presbytery. There was a rhythm that he was trying to get across to Timothy. He writes to Titus, another young man, in Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern. What is a pattern? A pattern is a rhythm. It is something that is consistent. It is something that keeps the beat. It is something that happens day after day, a consistency, a pattern of prayer, a pattern of opening my word, a pattern of worship, a pattern of faithfulness, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. It says sound preaching. And cannot, it says, sound preach that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you, that your life, what your life preaches, whether you stand in a pulpit or whether you never stand in a pulpit, your life is preaching. And he's saying that there is a sound preach that cannot be condemned, that it doesn't matter what they say on their job. They might not agree and say, well, I don't know about them Christians, but there's something, there's a soundness, there's a rhythm in your life that they cannot deny. They might be able to look at every other Christian on the job and shake their heads, but they better not be able to look into my life and be able to shake their head, because we've got to have a sound rhythm in our lives. When I was a kid, my job was to take out the trash. I was the oldest, and in West Texas, they have alleys. You don't get to roll it out to the front yard. In the front yard, you've got to take it down into the backyard, and it's dark, and there's cats and stray dogs, and I remember being a young kid, and they'd give you that huge trash bag, and you'd walk out there, and that you'd have that big trash bag, and you'd have to walk about 30 yards down the big dark alley. There's no lights in the alley, and you'd walk down there, and you'd open that trash can, and launch that trash bag into that dumpster, and then there would be a sound, or a cat would jump out of the dumpster. There's always something. And you'd run like a madman back to the gate, shut the gate, lock the gate, run inside. And as soon as you step through the door, you walk like everything was all right. I got this. It's all good. That's the way some of us live on a daily basis. Up, down, all around, rhythm is all off. Hey, something bad happens, check the bank statement, all of a sudden life is bad. Something happens at the house, and all of a sudden everything is falling apart. Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and it's just up, down, drag, run, dump, scream, holler, run, act like everything's okay. It's just the rhythm of life that we keep. And as silly as it sounds about me taking trash out to the dumpster, we live that way if we're not careful. There's no rhythm. It's just whatever is going on right now. How stable are we? Because Ephesians 5 and 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as unto an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. Ephesians 5 and 15, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If you read that in the Amplified, it says, look carefully at how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise or the witless, but as the wise, simple, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. You see, Christianity is an inside job. We make it an outside job, but it's an inside job. Christianity is something that has to be done on the inside of us. It doesn't matter how I can make it look on the outside. It's what's going on the inside of me. It's Philippians 1 and 6, being confident in this very thing. We sang about it this morning, brother. They had no idea what I was going to talk about. Being confident in this very thing. He that which hath begun a good work. Who has begun a good work? Who can I be confident in? The one that began a good work inside. Who is that? It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is the Alpha and the Omega. Who has begun this work inside of us? Who drew us to this place? We can say, well, oh, I won so-and-so, or I brought them to the Lord. We might have played a part in it, but God was playing a part in it long before they ever met us or our paths crossed. He brought them. He started the good work in our lives. He's the one that created this and started this, which he hath begun. What did he begin? He began a good work where? In you. In you. He's the one that started this work inside of us. He's the one that created this. He's the one that put this burden inside of us. It can't just be an outside work. I've got to get the inside right so that the outside, the rhythm will measure up. If the outside looks good, but the inside is rotten, the rhythm will be off. But if I can get the inside man right, the inside job where it's supposed to be, then the rhythm will be right in our lives. Where did he perform? Who started it? He did. Where did he perform it? In you. Where did he put it? In you. And then he said, a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying until the trumpet sounds, he'll work. You know what's so awesome about God? Is I can come to you and I can tell you something about myself. It might be true, it might not be true. It might be just how I perceive myself. But God says in Revelations 1 and 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He called himself the beginning and the ending. So I can be confident in this very thing, that he which began a good work, he which began that good work in you will perform it. When? Until the day that Jesus Christ comes. Well, so what can you say? He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. And if you'll let me, I'll work from this day to that day. I've got it all under control. I know where you are now and I know where you're going to be. And so I can work this. You can have confidence that if you'll do your best, if you'll start to, God, I've got to start trying to keep rhythm. Hey, I can have patience with that. I can work with that. I know the beginning from the ending. I know where you're headed. I know where you're going. I know what's going on in your life. I know the valleys that you're walking through right now at this moment. Why? Because he said about himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. So if he was good enough to start it in you, he also makes you a promise that he's good enough to finish it in you. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, there are some awesome people that sit in this room today, oh God, that you have started a good work in them. Lord, you began that work. Lord, you started it. God, you set the rhythm, oh God. Lord, you created that rhythm in their life. You filled them full of your spirit. But Lord God, I pray that this day, oh God, there would be a hunger inside of us that says, God, not only do I want you to begin a good work in me, God, I want to be there to see it finished in my life. I want to be there to see it performed into fruition, oh God. I want to see it come to completeness in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Consistency is a jewel worth wearing. It's an anchor worth weighing. It's a thread worth weaving. It's a battle worth winning. Charles Swindoll said that. It's a battle worth winning. Hallelujah. What's the rhythm of your life this morning? How long has it been since there's been a constant rhythm, a constant flow, that beat is on point, that when you step into church, the rhythm of your life steps right into rhythm with what's going on in the presence of the King? Or is when you finally get into church and you're having to find that rhythm? You don't get that rhythm, and everybody knows that you don't have that rhythm. How long has it been since you could step into the presence of God? And there's not missing a beat. There's not trying to find it. It's stepping in because you've been in rhythm with him all week. So why should there be a different rhythm in the presence of the Almighty, awesome God? Why should there be a different rhythm in his house when we gather together if we've been in rhythm with him all week? If you've come this morning and you feel like you're out of rhythm, If they begin to sing the first song this morning and the presence of God begins to move. Last Sunday was so powerful. I saw people pray that I've never seen pray. And the presence of God swept through this place. And if I'm not in rhythm, God, help me get in rhythm. Help me find that beat. Help me make today a day that I'm making a consecration to you, that I'm going to get my life back on rhythm with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.